Well, at this time, the children are dismissed for second hour, and we are going to be taking the meat of today from Psalm 23. As I was preparing for the sermon, I was praying and thinking about what to preach on, and been talking with people over the past probably 3 weeks, and just it seems like there is a lot of things going on out there in life. And a friend of mine called me up and was talking to me. He was going through some issues at his church, and he inadvertently had hurt a lot of people at his church, and they were dealing with it this week. And I got thinking, well, how is it that we deal with hurts? How is it that we handle hurts when they happen to us? Hurts can come in all forms. Sometimes it can come from friends. Sometimes it can come from family members, coworkers, a boss, overhearing a conversation at a McDonald's can even cause us hurt. So how do we deal with that? And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about, yes, how we can deal with hurt and how we can be restored with God, but also what happens when we don't deal with hurt. And that's what we're going to be looking at first this morning. So before we start going through the scriptures, bow with me and let's pray and ask God to help us understand this. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity now to open up your word and to see how we can deal with things that happen in life. And so, God, just speak to us now through your word. Help us to understand these things and help us to not only use them in our lives, but to be used by you into the lives of other people through this. Just speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of times when we get hurt, it often feels, and maybe it's just me, I don't think so, but it could be, that somebody may have tried to do something intentionally to hurt us. And as I was thinking about this, and I was listening to my friend talk about what he was going through and what he was going to have to do, and some of his congregation members getting a hold of me through this process, I was thinking of this verse here in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And again, sometimes it feels when we have to restore and get rid of the hurt in our lives that we are dealing with someone who intentionally tried to do that to us, whether they meant it or not, it feels that way. I know that. I see that. And I know that, you know, Psalm 23, oftentimes when we read this passage, maybe at a funeral or a wedding or some special occasion, but have we ever really stopped to think what this psalm means? If the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, this verse implies that we do have enemies, okay? It implies that there are people out there that word enemy means to show hostility toward. King David knew what it was to have enemies. He had people who were after him. King David had people who tried to destroy him. He had people who gossiped and lied and criticized. He had death in his family. He even had a dysfunctional home. He had children who were disobedient, and he had all kinds of problems and hurts. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we can all, in one way or another, relate to at least one of these types of things. I know when the boys, my kids, are told to do something and they don't do it right away or they talk back, it feels like, you know, they're just dishonoring me, that they're disrespecting me. And quite honestly, that makes me stand up, turn into like a bear and yell at them because I'm mad. You know, I don't want them to disrespect me or try to hurt my emotions or anything. So we all, in one way or the other, have and can relate to hurt in our lives. David said, "Lord, in the presence of all these hurts, in the presence of everything that's pressing in on me, everything that's coming down on me, you prepare a table before me in the presence of all these things. You anoint my head with oil, and you cause my cup to overflow." I came across a story of a gentleman being interviewed on his 100th birthday. A reporter was interviewing this gentleman celebrating his 100th birthday. He says, "What are you most proud of?" "Well," said the man, "I don't have an enemy in the world." Oh, what a beautiful thought. How inspirational, the writer said as he wrote that down with a big smile on his face. "Yep," added the man, "I've outlived every last one of them." Guys, the truth of the matter is that when we stand up for Christ, when we are bold and loud for Christ in our beliefs, that is going to irritate some people, and some people may even criticize us. Some people may even try to deliberately put us down because we stand up for the Bible and we stand for what God says. It is an imperfect world, and because of that, you and I are going to be hurt. Again, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Maybe expectations that we have of a loved one, I said before, a friend or a family member, they let us down. And that hurts us because we expected more out of them. So we're hurt by that. You may be hurt by illness. You may be hurt by the death of someone that will come and reach into your family, take a loved one as it has many times in many people's lives. Guys, some of the greatest hurts that we will ever experience are the hurts from our relationships. The times you've been hurt by a parent, or you've been hurt by a brother or sister in your home, or you've been hurt by a husband or wife, those do hurt terrible. And many of the ways we feel when we get hurt, the way we respond when we get hurt like that is, one, I'm scared to let my guard down because of the fear of being hurt again. We keep our guard up. We keep watching. We keep waiting. We keep saying, no, I've been hurt before. I know I'm going to get hurt again, so I'm just going to hold people off at a distance. I'm going to just be extra careful with people or situations. Another way is we just try to avoid people or situations. I'm just trying to avoid being hurt again. Is another common thing that we may say when it comes to relationships or dealing with people is, I didn't like that, I don't want that, so I'm going to just avoid those type of situations or avoid those people. Let me give you this idea, though, when it comes to hurt. One of the reasons why our hurts go so deep and last so long is because the way we deal with them. Let me go through some mistakes that we make when we are hurt. Some mistakes that we make when our heart is hurting. Okay? The first one is, sometimes we run from our hurts. Sometimes we run away from our hurts. I have a person who is very close and very dear to me, and he tends to do this. When he gets hurt or he gets upset about something, he will quit his ministry and he will go find another ministry. He will all of a sudden shut down. I mean, literally, coming out of a pulpit, someone will make a criticism to him or say something to him, and he shuts down right away, and he doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants to leave, transfer, go somewhere else. Okay? He wants to run from that hurt. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 55, verses 6 through 8. "I said, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and rest. How far away I would flee? I would stay in the wilderness. I would hurry to my shelter from the raging wind and the storm." This is the, I want to escape, I want to just pretend like it's not even there, just go, get away from it. And I was told when I was younger to never do that, to always face what is going on. I had an older pastor one time even tell me, he said, "When you get married, do not run away from your spouse when you are fighting. Do not turn around, jump in the car, and drive away, because multiple things can happen. One, God can take your life right then and there, and that's the last memory that your spouse is left with you. He said, two, You don't know what your spouse is feeling when you turn around and walk out that door. You're not facing them anymore. So deal with that. 3, you're a big guy and you can take the beatings you deserve from your spouse because you're probably wrong. The point is this. Sometimes when we get hurt, the immediate reaction is to run. And while I agree that, you know, sometimes getting away from a situation, taking a breather, things like that, not marriages, is good, it is not best to run bitter, to run away bitterly. You try to work through things, try to solve things before taking that break. If you want to get away from it, there has to be better ways to do it than just running away, because the devil accuses. He tries to give answers to the accusations that are false, that are wrong. You see, they are just cover-ups that the devil gives us when we try to get away from the real root of the problem. You see, the devil does not want to deal with the underlying issues that are going on. He only wants to deal with giving like a Band-Aid solution to it. People try and do all kinds of things to run away from a situation. They may try to drink their hurt away, but when you become sober, your hurts are still there. They can get on a high on drugs, but when you come down, the hurts are even worse than they were before you got on drugs. Running to the arms of another who is not your spouse, or filling your mind with pictures of someone who is not your spouse, does not bring lasting fulfillment or remove the hurt that you are trying to get away from. Okay? There are thousands of ways that people try to deal with their hurts, but escaping them is not the best way to do it. I once heard a man who was hurting. I think this may have even been on a Dave Ramsey type show. This man was down, he was upset, he was hurting, he was depressed, and he went to see the psychiatrist, and he said, "Doctor, you've got to help me." He said, "I'm in trouble, I'm down, I'm so depressed that I can't even function in my job," he said. "There has to be something you can do. What is your advice?" The doctor said to him, "Well, normally I would tell you that you need a change of scenery. I tell you that you could take a trip and get rested up." He said, "Well, doc, I've just been to the Bahamas. I just got back from that trip." The doctor said, "Well, why don't you go out and buy a new car? Sometimes that will lift your spirits." He said, I just went out and just got a lease for a new Mercedes." The doctor said, "Well, maybe you ought to go out and build a bigger home." He said, "I just moved into a 5-bedroom, 5-bath mini mansion." And the doctor said, "Well, let me get this straight. You're down, you're depressed, so you ran away onto a trip to the Bahamas. You ran out and you drive a new Mercedes. You ran out and you moved into this massive house, even though you're by yourself. Why in the world would you be depressed? These are all things I would love to have." The man looked at the doctor and said, "Well, I make $100 a week." That's the way the devil tries to deal with things. Okay? The underlying issue in that story is that the person couldn't afford how he was trying to live. But the advice that he was getting was, go out and get more and do this and change this and do all these things. But that was only making the matters worse. You see, when we get hurt and we feel like, you know what, I'm done. You know, like this friend of mine wanting to change churches. I think he's changed churches. The most he's ever done is 3 churches in 1 year. It was shocking. See, what he was doing was he wasn't dealing with the issue of sometimes criticism to him would have helped his ministry, helped his relating with people, helped his preaching style. But he didn't want to hear it. He was hurt. So he wanted to run. Running sometimes means that when we come around the block, the hurt is still there. Running will not get rid of the hurt that we are feeling. If it is family who is hurting us, running away from the family, that's never good. We need to restore relationships. Second thing is, some people try to hide their hurts. Listen to Psalm 32, verse 3. It says, "When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long." When people try to hide their hurts, it festers and it grows. It's like a virus inside of us. There are people today who are smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they are like David. They are moaning. They are hurting on the inside. They take this Clint Eastwood approach to pain. They say, "You know, I'll just grin and bear it. I'll just bite the bullet. I'll just be tougher than it is," type of mentality. I want to tell you that there are some hurts that will come in life, and no matter how big and tough and strong you think you are, emotionally, physically, spiritually, they will drive you to your knees. You may smile on the outside, but on the inside, you are going to be eaten alive. One of the ways we repress our hurts is through denial. We just say, "It isn't anything. You know, I'm making too big of a deal out of this. I'm not really hurting." And we try to come up with excuses to suppress the pain that we're going through. Then sometimes we try to repress our hurts by procrastinating, saying, "I know that I need to deal with this. I know that I need to go and see a counselor. I know that I need to go and talk with this person. I know that I need to go and make things right, but I'll take care of this tomorrow." And tomorrow becomes our favorite word because it just keeps getting put off, put off, and put off. What David says here is, the more I repress it, the more I try to deny it and put off dealing with my hurt, the worse I feel on the inside. I moan all the day long on the inside. The problem is that hurting people hurt people. People who are hurting, in return, hurt people. If you're hurting, then there are other people around you who are hurting. And guys, sometimes we never know about it. Sometimes even our hurt affects the lives of people around us. I remember one time I had a family situation where family members were hurt. Family members became bitter towards each other. But some of them tried to repress it and say, "No, everything's okay." But they wouldn't put a period there. They'd put a comma. "Everything's okay. It's just your family member is being a jerk." Or, "Oh, your family member is treating this." They would always add that tagline onto it because they were hurting and wanted to hurt the other person as well. And you know what happened? It wasn't fun being around them. We didn't enjoy spending time around them because they weren't dealing with the hurt that they had. And so it was coming on the outside. They were grumpy. They were grouchy. They were just, you know? And that's the way we get. We may not even realize it. We get complaining. We get grouchy. We get to where we talk bad and nasty about other people because we feel that way on the inside. We're not dealing with the hurt that we have in the proper way. We're not calling up a friend and saying, "You know, I really need to talk with you." We're not calling up a pastor or elders or someone and saying, "You know, I'm really going through something, dealing with something. Can you please pray with me or talk with me?" Guys, we're here for each other. We need to be here for each other. Same thing with our family members. Be there. Be open for your family members to come and to talk and deal with hurt or friends or whoever it is that's going through this. Again, David says, the more I repress it, the more I try to deny it and put off dealing with my hurt, the worse I feel on the inside. It doesn't solve the problem, but at least it helps to know that you are not the only one. And some of you today feel that you may be the only one who's going through hurt. Hiding the problem doesn't help it. But let me tell you this, you're not the only one who's going through a hard time. We have each other. Turn to one another through this as we point each other to God and God's solutions that we'll talk about here in a little bit. The third thing we come to is that some people will rehearse their hurts. This goes kind of along with trying to hide their hurts. But some people will live it over and over and over again. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19 says, "Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the deserts." Here, Isaiah is talking to a group of people who are saying, no, we remember what was going on. Oh, that's not going to work because this has happened. Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about because we remember this pain. We remember the failure. We remember all this stuff. And it's just not going to happen. And Isaiah is saying, stop. Stop reliving that. Stop thinking about that. Stop dwelling on these past failures. Some people go over them again and again, trying to relive these things. And their intention is that they're trying to remember the past, deal with the past, so that they can solve the problems that they're going through right now. But friends, I got a name to call that. And that's called worry. That's called worrying. Worrying never solves these problems, and it never dries a tear. It never eases a burden. Worry doesn't make problems better, but it does make problems worse. Many people go over and over in their minds about their hurt without sharing it with others, without getting help, without getting people to pray for them. Guys, we need to build up relationships in our lives so that we can turn to other people, so that we can be there to be used by God for other people to turn to us when they're going through issues. To have that reputation of, okay, I know I can go to so-and-so and I can talk in confidence to them. Pray with them and talk with them through these issues. They'll tell me what God wants. Help me through the Bible and pray with me. Have you ever noticed that the more you go over your problem, the more you think about it, and the bigger the problem gets? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Came across this situation from Ann Landers. She says, "Dear Ann, I'm so worried about my upcoming marriage because I just discovered that my fiance has a wooden leg. I just can't get over that. Do you think I should break it off?" You know, I just caught that can go a different way. Oh, all right. Sometimes when we dwell about even the littlest of things, it becomes a big monster that we never should have even been dealing with in the first place. There are some times that a friend of mine would be joking with me, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, okay? This will come as a big shocker to you, but I'm not the skinniest person. I know. And we would be joking, and his biggest thing to joke with me, because he's very skinny, is, hey, I can't catch him. I can't run up to him, catch him, because I'm overweight. I understand that. You know, we're joking back and forth. But you know what happens? Throughout the week, I get thinking, oh, I am overweight. Oh, and I just start dwelling on these things, and it starts permeating into my mind that, oh, I'm so healthy and all this stuff. I can barely get out of bed. You know, all these things. I dwell on these little jokes, and I turn this little bitty thing into this big complaining monster where Melissa finally looks at me and says, okay, then do a push-up. I'm like, nope, I'm cured. The point is this, guys. We need to let go of things that have happened in the past. We cannot relive these hurts that attack us. Let me go on these last two wrong ways to deal with hurt. The fourth one is some people resent their hurts. Okay? In Job chapter 18, verse 4, it says, "You who tear yourself in anger, should the earth be abandoned on your account or a rock be removed from its place?" When we resent our hurts, we are not normally quiet about it, are we? We are normally vocal. We are normally, I can't believe that should have happened. Can you believe that so-and-so said this? You know what? I need to go and, oh, I'm going to get them in trouble. So-and-so was told to do this at work, but they didn't do it. They weren't listening to me. I don't think that they respect me. I'm going to go and I'm going to start telling three people over here how so-and-so is failing at their job. We are vocal when we resent things. Anger starts to come up into this part. Resentment comes from anger, and anger results in bitterness. If you stay angry long enough, you are going to grow bitter. I promise you that. But when you simply resent the person who's hurting you, what ends up happening is you hurt yourself even more. And all the things that that person did to you, maybe even years previously. You turn into someone who is resentful. You turn into someone who is angry and who is bitter. I call this the person on the porch when the kid's ball goes into their yard and the kids stand there just staring at their ball, scared to death that the person's going to get them because something's in their yard. Okay? The person is angry. The person is bitter. The person is known as one to not trifle with. One who will bite you. One who will say bad things about you. People, when they resent their hurts, oftentimes out of anger, try to hurt other people. And that verse in Job, I love how it says this. You who tear yourself in anger, should the earth be abandoned on your account? Or a rock be removed from its place? Saying, just because you're angry, just because you're bitter about these things, should that change the situation for everyone? Just to try to make you feel better? Because you are not dealing with what is truly going on? You're not dealing with the pain that you are feeling in the right way? Our last way that people deal with hurt in a negative way, in a wrong way, is that some people retaliate because of their hurts. Some people just come straight out and retaliate because of their hurts. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 17, says this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. What a powerful set of scriptures. Here we see, do not retaliate. Do not repay evil for evil. Now, I do not believe that this means that if you are under attack, you do not fight back. I do not agree with that form of teaching on this. What I believe is that something has happened to an individual, and so you go back and you plot how to get revenge in like fashion or like intensity. Evil for evil. And then he also says, try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. And then this seems to be a popular one in my household. Again, I introduce you to four of our boys. Well, if one ends up looking at the other one funny, then it turns into the big fist fight. And we try to stop them and tell them, you do not repay evil for evil. One day I heard one of my boys, I forget which one it was, it may have been Silas, try to quote verse 19. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. He tried to quote this last part by saying, God's going to get you and send you to hell. And turned around and walked away. It doesn't mean that, okay? It means try the best you can to restore relationships with the people who you are separated from. That doesn't mean that you're best friends again. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be arm in arm. But it means that their outlook on you is, wow, that is a person of integrity. Wow, we may not spend time together anymore, but I can respect that person. That means let God work in their lives. Do not expect them to come to you and say, I am sorry. I can't believe that I did that to you. Let God work in their lives. Let God soften them and mold them to bring them to a point. And sometimes, if you're anything like me, sometimes when God gets our attention, he has to use a big sledgehammer, right? But sometimes he uses situations to often soften our hearts as well. Okay? It is normal response to want to get flesh for flesh. But guys, we need to stop and remember, we represent a God who is bigger than us. How are we going to make him look when dealing with hurts and dealing with other people? So that brings me to this question. What do we do when we are hurt? What should we do when we are hurt? I believe the answer is found in the complete section of Scripture of Psalm 23. Follow along with me as we go through it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Look at these verses for a moment. That last section, they comfort me. I don't know about you, but when I begin reading Psalm 23, I begin to get relaxed. I begin to think of actually being out in a quiet meadow, a place where I can be calm, a place where I don't have to feel the anger and the resentment and the hurt and the that's not fair feeling anymore. I imagine a place where we can be and just let it all go. He leads me beside quiet waters. If you've ever spent time next to a running stream or next to water when it's flowing, it is so relaxing. It is so calming. Guys, there's just something about it. And that's where God leads us to, is to a calm place. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. When we don't know how to deal with a situation, we need to turn to God. We need to turn to God because he is going to lead us along the right path, the right answer, and how to deal with the situation. Whether it's pain from loss, whether it's pain from somebody doing something, angering us, whatever it is, God will show us what is right when we go through that. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod and a staff, these were wonderful tools used by shepherds. They had on one end where you could fight off wild animals viciously trying to attack people. I mean, the weaponry of that is amazing. You can crack the skull like nothing. But yet, on the other end, it is this hook that when a loved one, when somebody starts straying away, starts going away from a situation, the shepherd would hook the animal and bring him back lovingly. It wouldn't jerk the animal, wouldn't keep pounding the animal back, but just hook them and bring them back in a loving, caring way. This imagery here is all about dealing with this pain, with seeking comfort from God again. And then he goes on in verse 5. Okay? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Even though we are faced with people who may be hurting us, faced with situations that may be causing us pain, we need to remember that that's not where we're always going to be. Our always home, our always situation, Christian, is going to be dwelling in the house of the Lord. When we turn to God, we find our comfort, we find our answers, we find the mentality of, okay, this situation, it's not good. This person, yeah, they may be treating me crummy, but it's not for everlasting. What's everlasting is our eternity with God. Our eternity with God in heaven. He may have his face, as it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We may have to face the situation head on. But we need to remember that it is only a temporary situation compared to the eternity of heaven. If we don't run from our hurts, if we don't repress them, rehearse them, if we don't resent them and don't retaliate, that leaves us with the question, again, of what do you do? What do we do with these pains? In verse 3, we see that God renews my life. That word renew means to return. Okay? To return, to put back to a place you were before. When we are hurt, we need to believe that God is going to put us back to a place where that hurt did not control us and it did not dictate how we lived. We need to trust that He will do that. Our life, when He says, renew my life, the life means our desires, our passions, our appetite, our emotions. Okay? We are not guaranteed the things that we had before, but our feelings, our outlook on life, the way we acted will be returned. The trust that was shattered will be there. The ability to function without panic will be there when we trust and believe that God will renew our life. How will He do that? He leads me along the right paths. God will show you through the Bible how we are supposed to live. He will bring people into our lives who are doing things the right way. I remember early in ministry, I was 27. I was pastoring a church, a senior pastor. The first time I'd been a senior pastor. And I may have shared this with you before, but the church was struggling. And all I knew, all I heard, all I read was, pastor, put your foot down, you lead the people. You lead them and you go in and they have to do what you say. I was getting ready for a board meeting that night, just very worried about that, because after all, who wants to listen to a 27, 28-year-old, right? Oh, I'm so glad most of you were quiet on that. Well, it just so happened that the week previous, I was at a training seminar and I met a lady whose husband was a pastor. And I told her that I was going through some difficulties, and she said she'd share it with her husband, and he would pray for me. I want to say it was literally about 2:30 in the afternoon, the day of the board meeting. I get a phone call from this stranger, this pastor. He introduces himself. I know that it's her husband. And we begin talking. I begin sharing why I am justified to put my foot down as leader in the church. And he looked and he said, he told me over the phone, he said, Paul, yeah, you have a right to do that. Yeah, you can lead like that. Or you can remember that you're just helping shepherd God's flock and you're in the pit, you're in the pen with them. Do you want them hurt or do you want to protect them? What kind of leader are you going to be? And that hit me so hard. I went into that board meeting and I let everybody say how they felt. Say their outlook towards the changes we were going through. Say their outlook on, you know, that I wasn't going to go by tradition, but rather by the Bible. And everybody, it hurt hearing what was going on. But at the end of it, as I sat there, one person stood up and they said, but we feel that He is our pastor. And we need to respect Him. And that changed the direction of the church right then and there. Right then and there. God can renew anything. You see, what God did in that moment was He brought that pastor into my life the day of a board meeting that I was going to tank my ministry. I know that I would have. He brought him into my life at that very moment that I needed to hear, Paul, you're too big-headed. Cut it out and love the people. God can do that, friends, through our hurts, through our situations. Bring people into our lives who are doing things the right way and can help us with the right way as well. Next, we saw in verse 4 that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I talked a little bit about that, about the rod and staff being a weapon and a life preserver for people. You see, we are not guaranteed that we will not hurt in life. After all, the saying, no pain, no gain, is very true even in life. Hurt can make us into a person who is stronger. Hurt can cause us to handle situations with confidence and clarity. Hurt can allow us to be either the weapon or the healer, the rod or the staff that God uses to bring someone else out of a bad situation. How many of you have ever been used like that? Used where people come to you with they're going through difficulty. They come to you and they say, can you help me? Can you talk with me? And you sit and you talk, you pray, you go through scripture together. How do you feel after that? You feel like $1 million, don't you? You feel like, wow, God is real. God is really using me. God can use us, use situations to make us stronger. And then we saw in verses 5 and 6 that, you know, if we do these things, if we obey and we go through these things well, people are going to see that we are something special. To have a table prepared for us, even in the presence of our enemies, says that we are not worried anymore. We are not focused anymore on that they are going to continue to hurt us. Normally, if you are in the presence of an enemy, you need to be ready, you need to be on guard, prepared to defend yourself. But God will make it so we are not like that. He makes us relaxed, even able to enjoy, able to focus on something that is good. He anoints our head with oil. This shows that a person was special. We are going to stand out. People are not going to see that God, people are going to see that God sets us apart. That's the word that we use in church for holy. See that we are chosen, something special over and above the normal. This shows that a person has literally won the event when we trust that God will do these things. My last illustration is I remember being at a church waiting to be hired on as the youth pastor, and the pastor was very, very opinionated, very hard of an individual, and he hurt me, he hurt Melissa very deeply with his words. And about 10 years later, I ran into him at a conference. And I sat back there, my stomach just churning as I saw him. And I thought, no, I'm going to go up and I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to smile and I'm going to see what he has to say. I walked right up to him. I said, I don't know if you remember me or not, but my name is Paul. And he goes, Paul Lamb. And he stands up, gives me the biggest hug. And here I was waiting to take a blow to the stomach. But he gives me the biggest hug and he asks how we're doing. He asks how ministry is going. He said how grateful he was that I was still in ministry, and I'm just standing there like, what? But once I finally composed myself, we sat down for an hour, talked about the joys of ministry, talked about different things, different times, and I even got to share with him how some of the things he said, how I took them. And you know what? I took him wrong. He said, oh, I was just trying to help you. I was just trying to build you up, prepare you. I am so sorry for how I acted. Here is this person that I thought would be an enemy. This person that I was waiting to just, hi, I'm Paul Lamb. I'm a success in ministry. Ha ha, and walk off. That's what I was prepared for. But it turned into a wonderful opportunity to restore this broken heart back towards this person and towards God in ministry. So let me answer this question of how do we handle hurt in our lives. We need to believe that God is going to put us back to a place where that hurt did not control us. It did not dictate how we lived. God will show you through the Bible how we are supposed to live, and he will bring people into your lives who are doing things the right way, then give you the ability to live every day moving towards the release of the hurts we are holding on to, if we ask him. Are you ready to do that, friends? Are you ready to acknowledge, yes, I get hurt in life, but oh God, restore me back to a place where that hurt does not control me. If you are, then let's go out into this world. Let's go out into your communities and your family and your relationships and watch God change lives. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the ability to look at your word, to see this psalm that takes us away from the hurts and the pains that we go through, and to acknowledge that you are greater than those things, that you are able to restore us, Lord. Help us to hold on to this psalm of restoration, this psalm of comfort, as we seek your will in our lives. God, use us this week. Use us to either be an example of someone restored or to be the example of someone who is helping restore another person. Help us in this, God. In Jesus' name, amen.